It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's taking forever.
Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
Then you can clean all that up in post, as they say, right?
Sure.
All right. Thank you guys for checking us out. We are the Uncle Puckers, Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. So, guys, just did a cool-ass interview with Mr. Jim Dowd. What'd you guys think?
Oh, amazing. So nice having Jim Dowd on with us.
What a nice guy, right?
He's not only like a hockey legend, New Jersey Devil legend, but he's so local. Ocean County, where we are based, and it was a real treat to have him in today.
It really was.
Yeah, it was a real pleasure to have him again. I mean, you learn just from listening to the interview, just a total team guy. Just a loyal guy. He was loyal before he went to college. He was loyal to his high school. Just a fantastic guy and a great interview. So. Love to see what the family say about this.
He was so down to earth too. You know, like dealing with him, you didn't feel like, you know, he just fit in perfectly. He was just really great guy.
Yeah, I was really interested in the part where, you know, he was talking about when other organizations when he was in high school that were trying to poach him, and how he was very much, you know, he was brick and that was it, and how his dad handled, you know, people that called the house and stuff. I thought that was pretty cool. But
yeah,
you
know, really old school
loyalty.
Yes, definitely. And that was just an awesome time having him on. I hope to do it again. So it was really awesome.
Yeah, Me and Dan were talking about Tony. Sorry, go ahead, Bobby.
I was going to say, Tony and I were talking a little bit off that we really only spanned, really, 86 to 95. We only barely touched on everything else after that. There's just so much to talk about. You know, one of the things I didn't get to say, because we did talk about the goal, game two. Everybody knows Jimmy Dowd scored the game-winning goal in game two of the Stanley Cup Finals, but I didn't get a chance to tell Jimmy that we're forever linked. Because I think what a lot of people don't know, I'm sure he knows, that the date of that game two was June 20th. And the reason I know this is because a mere 3 or 4 hours before he's off scoring a game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup Finals, I bought my first legal six-pack, brought it over to Chris's house so we could watch this game. So in a way,
in the basement and watch.
In
the
a way,
game.
Me and Jim share like a defining moment of our lives on June 20th, 1995.
He would have been so amazed to hear that story. I was
trying to find a time to get in, but I know he's going to listen to it because he had such a good time. That's like they call kismet.
That's right. I think.
No, and we were talking about too. Me, I think it was me and Dan were saying that with a guy like with Jim Dowd. You know, this guy lasted over 700 games in the NHL, and that is, you know, that's not an easy feat. You know, he played with a lot.
Yeah,
of
I never
teams,
looked up what the average career is, but he had a longer than average career.
It's not 17 years. That's for sure.
I mean you fans get able... to think that they play for a long period of time, but that's not the average player.
No, and he's well over the average. I mean, this dude, you said, he had to adapt. He had to make his way onto each team. I mean, talks a little bit about it, how, you know, getting back down to the minors and that being a kick in the nuts, and, you know, how this dude fought to get back up. So it really, I mean, this dude, nothing kept him down. It didn't matter that he was playing hockey in New Jersey where nobody was looking for fucking hockey players. Not that he was drafted by a team at the time that was not very good. I mean, talk about grinding your way into a position of just being a respectable, this dude was just, if you had Jim Dowd on your team, you knew that position that he was in was locked down. Like he was just a coach's dream. Did whatever you asked and just busted his ass for you. Yep. Really awesome dude.
I can never let an opportunity pass to take full advantage of it.
Yeah. You know, you're right.
Obviously, it's well documented that we are podcasters of a certain age, right? A little bit older than most of the people that are doing this. And we tend to have a history with, you know, the teams, the strong teams in the 90s and stuff. And people talk about that. So we couldn't have had a better guest to help kind of come in and, you know, define what it was like back then, you know, compared to now. And I mean, first of all, we couldn't have had a better guest anyway, just being from the same county and everything. That's just, you know, that was just a perfect way to start off our first major celebrity. But yeah, people are going to learn a lot from this and the way hockey was. I'm really excited for this to get out there.
Yeah.
And he'll be back. You know, he'll definitely be back. But speaking of, you know, Stanley Cup champion Devils, just a shout out for a meet and greet for two-time Stanley Cup champion, Mr. Randy McKay. That is at the Garden State Trading Car Show, Saturday, September 12th at 2 p.m. That's at 350 Lightning Way in Secaucus, New Jersey at the La Quinta Inn and Suites, $30 per autograph, $50 for a combo autographed and photo op. That's the Garden State Trading Card Show, Saturday, September – I'm sorry, I got the date wrong. September 9th from 12 to 2 p.m., two-time New Jersey Devils Stanley Cup champion Randy McKay will be there. So definitely head on down there. If you're in the neighborhood, check it out. Get a picture taken with Mr. McKay, and maybe one day we'll get him on the show as well.
Yeah, if anybody wants to pick up a picture signed for Pucker Bob, I'll give you 50 for it. So,
that's a good deal. That's $50 coming your way. For everybody who does that, you're going to give out $50
for
each one.
I want one.
That's a lot of money.
$30. It's $30 for the autograph.
He said it. It's now a written contract.
Well, we'll see how many people email us about that.
So,
Tony probably leads all of us in memorabilia, though, right, Tony? You got like so much.
Me and Bobby were just talking about this, too, before you guys came on. That we're like, as you get to a certain age, you kind of lose, like, I don't know. It's like you have this – like I have some game use stuff like Devils jerseys and sticks that I like kind of cherish. But like as far as autographs, you kind of get a little – right, Bobby? We were just talking
about man's signature at some point. You know, I went through that collector's phase right after college, and I do
You're
cherish
trying to get Ryan Graves' jockstrap signed for you.
Yeah. Oh, I have that. Tony and I, you know, just
isolate
tease
that,
out.
Chris. Isolate
we're
that.
We're going to get once we start picking up some momentum here and get some proof of our fans coming, I think we got some giveaways that we could talk about later in the season, perhaps before a playoff run next year. I've got some items that we can put up for bid.
That would be awesome. Another thing to look forward to, we're still working out the kinks, so this is not set in stone, but at some point we would like to actually have like a live stream or something that we do directly after playoff games where we can kind of hop on, you know, whether it be YouTube or wherever. We got to work out the details, but that's in the works right now. But I want to ask you guys, did you hear about the PWHL, the Professional Women's Hockey League?
Yeah, I heard that. It's kind of like a reboot of the defunct one that ran a couple years ago.
Yeah, this one seems like it's in much stronger hands.
That's good.
They announced the six original teams that will be playing, I guess, this season they're going to start.
Is that how
our local team is
total
what?
Of the six?
Well, they have it kind of in the New York tri-state area. They've called it like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. I don't know where they're going to be playing or what the team name's going to be, but that's one team. Boston has a team. St. Paul, Minnesota has a team. And then there's three Canadians in Montreal, Toronto, and Ottawa. So that should be pretty cool. Three American teams, three Canadian teams. They were talking a little bit on XM about it today, and they were saying, like, you know, trying to get things where, like, say in Toronto, they have the Toronto women's team play an afternoon game, Maple Leafs playing later. They say they do that a lot with the Marlies and the Maple Leafs, so they'll try to intertwine them. And that should be pretty cool. I'm actually looking forward to that because a lot of those women, man, you say what you want, but they can play hockey.
Sure can. Yes, I would love to check that. I think our local team from the last league was called the Riveters, you know, like the Rosen Riveters.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, it was, but I never did to make it out to see a game.
Did it have like the World War II woman that as the
I'm trying to remember the logo. It may have well featured something like that or even a rivet gun. I can't remember.
Look, Jack Hughes' mom played for what, USA?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's pretty awesome. But so is there anything that you guys want to touch on now, or should we just hop on into the Jimmy Dowd interview and give the people what they want?
Yeah, I think listeners are really going to enjoy it. And you know, if you're listening to this podcast, and especially if you're from New Jersey, you're going to really find it. I don't know. I hate to like overdo it, but he's got an inspirational story. I think we were just talking about before we hopped on. You know, they made a movie out of like Vinnie Papale and stuff with it. but he didn't like, you know, walk on and then do 17 years in the league. I mean,
right.
This is an amazing story of success from a local guy. So you're going to love this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and it really was, you're right, it was inspirational. He's a great guy, and he'll definitely be back on the show. So without further ado, guys, stay tuned. We have to do a little housekeeping, a little shout out to our advertisers, and then we will get right into the Jimmy Dowd interview. So for the Uncle Puckers, Chris, Dan, Bob, and Tony, we'll see you after the interview.
Yo. Hey there, college football fans. Week one is upon us, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking Uncle Pucker listeners up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. Your team can go from unranked to dynasty mode just like that. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario, ccdkng.co/football for eligibility. Terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Chris here for Raycon Wireless Earbuds. Now, we've all been there. You pay an arm and a leg for a pair of premium earbuds, only to find that the only thing premium about them was their price. That's why the Uncle Puckers only use Raycon Wireless Earbuds. Whether you're relaxing at the beach, listening to your favorite summer playlist, or catching up with your favorite hockey podcast at the gym, Raycons are the best way to listen. Raycons have tap functions to easily toggle between three customizable sound profiles like noise isolation and awareness mode. They come with custom gel tips for the most comfortable in-ear fit. A 32-hour battery life, including 8 hours of playtime, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really long time. And they start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And with the 30-day happiness guarantee, you really can't lose. So what are you waiting for? Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, Uncle Pucker listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/THPN. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/THPN. All right. Well, we just want to thank everybody for checking us out today. We have a super special guest. This guy, his name is synonymous with hockey and the state of New Jersey. He played professionally for 17 years. He will forever have his name etched in the greatest trophy in all the sports, New Jersey native and Stanley Cup champion, Mr. Jim Dowd.
All right.
Nice, thanks. If you should have been my agent, I'd still be playing.
Yeah. So 17 years in the league, man. Like, what is what does Jim Dowd do now? What's your day look like now?
You know what? I'm busier than ever. So I tried the retirement thing when I was done. 07, 08 was my last year with the Flyers. You know, people from Jersey are still pissed off at me about that one.
We're going to work, man.
Well, I was 40 years old, but did nothing for a couple of years, which is a recipe for disaster. I went right to coaching my boys. I've been married for 27 years. I have two boys. I had some offers to coach right away as soon as I was done, a couple of different organizations. But you know what? I played for 17 years. My wife was a trooper. My two boys had just started playing hockey. So, you know, I started coaching them. And after 2 years of really doing nothing, I've been into nutrition heavily. So I have a nutrition company for 9 years now. And I do performance mindset coaching, actually, for youth athletes.
You know, is performance mindset coaching? What is that? Just kind of just getting people mentally ready?
Yeah, so I'm a certified axiology practitioner, which is actually the study of values. And JimDowd.com is the site for that. So I basically do nutrition and performance mindset coaching, and also do camps and clinics, you know, out of the Middletown and Ice Palace Rink and Brick. The Palace is back up.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Oh, yeah? I mean, that, yeah. Your home, it has had some rough times. We're all Ocean County guys, and that rink was everything for hockey, and you were everything for that rink, to be honest. And it, you know, basically shut down for a while. So now it's back. Yeah. Are they going to be hosting their own teams again?
Yeah, well, what's going on is Brick High School's there. We're probably going to get the Brick Hockey Club back there, hopefully, you know, if that works out. And then just doing camps and clinics, you know, and out of Middletown and out of Brick.
Right.
Yeah,
you just finished your camp, didn't you, Jim?
Yeah. I do camps and clinics. I got a pretty good gig with those guys. They're great. I could do camps and clinic whenever I want. And, you know, I still enjoy doing that. You know what I mean? And I help out, like I said, with the local New Jersey Titans organization there. Those guys have been great to me. That's where my boys played AAA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Awesome.
And, nice.
You know, that's it. You know, just enjoying life, but working hard. I'm busier now than ever, and I love it. You know, again, I literally tried. I retired, did nothing for a couple years. It was a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. Right.
First 6 or 7 months was good. But after that, like, you realize, you know, and I just live normal, but you're spending money. You're not doing anything. I was just coaching my boys, so – you know, but mentally it was one of those, you know, no goals, no nothing. So, but I'm in a great space right now. Again, my wife and I have been married for 27 years. My oldest son's playing at Penn State. He's a senior. My youngest son's going into ASU as a freshman. So
nice.
You know, lots of great things happening on my end.
Well, maybe we'll see some more Dowds in the NHL at some point.
Yeah, they love it. They're into it, you know.
That's awesome.
Just now, not the Flyers.
And I'm actually back in the fold with the Devils, too, doing some alumni stuff. So
that's awesome.
You
know,
that's great.
I did that for a while with Lou, you know what I mean? And then I was so busy that I really couldn't do anymore, but I've been back in the picture the last year or two.
That's really cool. Now, like, who were you a fan of as a kid professionally? Like, was there any team that you watched?
You know what? Growing up in Brick, I mean, you know, if anything, I never really had a favorite team. But if anything, you know, we rooted for the Rangers,
right,
the Yankees, whatever. But the Devils moved to Jersey when I was 13 in 1982. So I guess, all right, we didn't have any baseball, football, basketball. Now we got hockey. I guess I'll be a Devils fan. But it didn't really matter to me. But, you know, and then 5 years later, I mean, that was 82. Then what, 5 years later, I'm getting drafted by them. And
right.
You know what I mean? So, but if anything, and since 94, I hate all New York teams. So,
yeah. Good. Yeah, we've always hated all New York teams. So that's where we are. So, okay. So let's talk a little bit about then, you know, you get drafted by the Devils. You play, you know, your four years at Lake Superior State, you know, NCAA champion, tons of awards, tons of records. I mean, you blew it up there. Then you come in and you're playing for Robbie Faturek down in the AHL. Now, Robbie Faturek, kind of a bit of a polarizing guy in Devil lore, you know, when he was the head coach for a while and how he unceremoniously got fired in 2000. But what was it like playing for Robbie Faturek?
You know what? Actually, I love him. He was great. My first year, 91-92, Herb Brooks was the head coach.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was – that was – we had about, I guess, 8 or 9 of us that panned out from the 87, 88, 89 draft. And we all signed at the same time. And Lou brought Herb in to Utica, New York. No assistants, no nothing, just Herb Brooks, man. And it was great. I mean, getting sent down to the minors, I'm like, all right, I'm going to play for Herb Brooks. I mean, the Devils were loaded at center, you know?
Right,
yeah.
Down there, played for him that first year. Tom McVie was the head coach of the Devils.
Right.
And it was a funny story, man. They hated each other. It was hilarious. You know what I mean?
Really?
Right.
But Herb was great. You know, I got one game up my first year, and then, you know, I was leading scorer down there for Herb. Then McVie got fired. Herb took the job, and then Robbie came in my second year in Utica. Okay. But Robbie was great, man. I loved him, man. He was another American guy. I mean, Herb Brooks, obviously American. Robbie Faturek, you know, Robbie.
It's got to be crazy, you know, playing for Herb Brooks on an average game. Like, are you half expecting, like, a famous Herb Brooks speech, like a miracle on ice, like game, you know?
Yeah.
It's got to be wild.
He was exactly like he was in the movies, man. He was so far ahead of the game, though. He was doing stuff back then that how hockey is now. He was so far ahead of the game. You know, he was ahead of his time. He was awesome. And he was in Utica by himself. I mean, you guys ever been to Utica, New York?
No.
Yes. No, you know what I mean? Like, he was only coming to Utica for 1 year, you know. But he would sit and tell stories. I mean, he was great, man. He was Herb Brooks, you know.
Yeah, right?
Legend. Exactly. Legend. Skating, passing, shooting drills, tons of conditioning, and he was legs feed the wolves, all that stuff.
Right.
You know, he, an, you know, in the movie, what did he say? You look like a monkey screwing a football. You know, right. You look like a monkey fucking a football out there. Exactly. What are you doing? You know,
right?
That's right.
But he was great, man. I got a great story about him too. So that was my first year. Then my second year, he's the head coach of the Devils, mm-hmm. and I get one game up my second year. They were loaded again. I go back down. I'm leading scorer. Then my third year is when Lemaire came in, and then Herb went to the Pittsburgh Penguins organization. That's the year that Lemaire's the one that got me to the NHL full time. You know, he really loved me and. You know, I just kept progressing, and I scored my first goal in my first game that year against the Quebec Nordiques. And less than a week later, to my house in Brick, New Jersey,
right.
I get a letter, a handwritten letter from Herb Brooks congratulating me on my first NHL goal.
Wow, what awesome. A class guy!
That's great.
Oh man, it was great. I still got it saved. You know,
sure.
But and Jim, you beat Jocelyn Thibault, didn't you? Your first goal?
Yeah, Jocelyn Thibault. Yep,
In Quebec, and that was the game that Mike Peluso got injured when he hit his head.
Tony Twist.
Yeah. That was the same game. Yep. And Andy Moog was in goal. Yeah.
And but going back to Robbie Fatorik, he was great, man. I mean, I loved him. You know what I mean? He was great. He would play 3-on-3 after. I liked Robbie.
He
benched Wayne Gretzky, stuff like that.
And, right.
He's a ballsy guy.
That takes balls. I like that.
Yeah. You know why he benched Wayne Gretzky now, don't you?
Oh, I could think of a million reasons, but why?
No, because he broke his stick on the bench.
Really?
Yeah, he broke his stick. Okay. He wasn't into it, but that obviously that doesn't go over too well. You know.
I remember a time when Robbie threw the bench onto the ice.
You don't break sticks on the bench. You throw the bench.
Yeah, you throw the whole fucking bench.
There's certain guys you get benched for certain things, and he's not one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean – that's got to be mind-blowing then. You come up and you're playing, in front of, Jacques Lemaire and Larry Robinson. Like, these two friggin' legends up there. Like, that's mind-blowing, man. How was that intimidating at all? Or were you just like, I'm a kid great. And I'm going to blow, just do my best here?
Yeah, you know what? In life when you think you could do something, but as opposed to you know you can do something. Like, I look back on my whole career because I'm doing this performance mindset coaching now for a while, and nutrition, all this. I look back on my first couple years, I had a really good camp my first year, got sent down, only got one game up, came back the next year, had another great camp, got sent down. But my third year, I knew I was ready for the NHL. I got a great story, too, because I still got sent down my third year. They were still loaded.
Now, what year was this, 93, 94?
This was 93, 94.
Okay.
I had a great training camp, and it was right at the end. It was the last day, and I was the last one to get sent down. And I'm in the meeting with Lou, Jacques Lemaire, and Larry Robinson. I'm like, guys, I was, pissed. I'm, letting them know, guys, I'm ready to play. Like, I knew I was ready. I had a great camp, but they were still loaded. They had Bernie Nichols at center, Bobby Holy, Corey Millen, I think Alexander Cimak and somebody, but I'm like, I was ready to go. And I was just, and they finally had enough. You know what I mean? I was like, listen, I'm not going to go down with a bad attitude. But I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And finally, Jacques Lemaire says, Jimmy, he goes, me and Larry can play exhibition games.
Yeah.
Meaning exhibition. Right. Exhibition games and regular
big jump.
Right. Sure.
And
sure.
He wanted to let you know, you can't put too much weight in those games. Is that what he was doing?
So right. I said, listen, I'm not going down with a bad attitude. Just letting you guys know I'm ready to go. Went down, tore it up, and got called up, and the rest is history. You know what I mean? And
I mean, even from that first call up, you're scoring, you're getting assists in that first game.
Now, and Jim, do you remember your first game against Boston? Do you remember how that felt? Your first game,
my first game ever. Yep, was against Boston, and I swear that Adam Oates, he let me, my first face-off was ever, it was against Adam Oates in the neutral zone, and I swore he let me win it, you know what I mean?
Right. I doubt that, dude.
Yeah, that was great, though. I mean, especially being a Jersey kid, and I've been telling people for 30, 35 years now, ever since I went to Lake Superior, there's good hockey players in Jersey, because back in the day, if I'm 54, if you weren't from Minnesota, Massachusetts, Chicago, or Michigan, they didn't even look at you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I mean, you just need one person could change your life forever. For me, that was Frank Anzalone, at Lake State, him and Jeff Jackson.
Right.
Those guys, you guys wouldn't even know who I am. If it wasn't for Lake Superior.
Frank and the way Anzalone, you took advantage of those opportunities, too. I mean, a lot of people would have said, yeah, I'm going to take no for an answer. I mean, nobody ever did what you did before you did it. And then, you know, it's kind of funny. You broke the door down. After that, we got a lot more New Jersey players than we ever did. Like right away.
Now people are like, college coaches call me. Everyone's looking for the next. Like, we're turning into a little bit of a hockey hotbed, our area. You know what I mean? The whole Atlantic District, which is New Jersey, you know, PA, you know, Southern New York. It's awesome to see.
And Jim, so didn't the Devils try to sign you in, what was it, 89, 90? They tried to bring you up and sign you, but you tried to stay?
After my junior year, they tried to get, because I was drafted in 87 out of Brick High School. And then in hockey, they have your rights all through college. So they you know, attack you and all that. After my junior year, they tried to get me to sign. And I didn't even, it took me like less than a second. Like, I loved college. We had already won a national championship. I wanted to go back, try to win another one. I wanted to graduate. I just loved it. You know what I mean? I was in no hurry. I went back, you know, We had a great year. I graduated. You know, we, my senior year, actually, we went 28 straight games without a loss. And we got upset in the quarterfinals. I ended up signing for more money anyway and still started in the minors. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't, it was, and still ended up playing for 17 years. There's no rush. I tell people, even to this day, unless you're going right to the NHL and signing that ticket, there's no sense to even think about leaving.
You know what's amazing about your career, though? You've always been like in the leading edge of an organization turning it around, becoming a powerhouse. This is true of Brick, New Jersey, if you want to talk about high school hockey. I mean, they really – you put them on the map. And since you left, obviously, they've had some great years since then. And then even Lake Superior. By the time you graduate, you got Doug Waite playing with you. It's some big names that you probably wouldn't have had before you were on that team. I'm not saying it was all you, but you've always been there with an organization. And then you look at the Devils. You know, that's when they came off the mat, when you joined them. I mean, your timing is, like, amazing, and you have a lot to do with it.
Now, Brian, you played with Brian Ralston too over in Lake.
Yeah. Right? So what happened at Lake State? So that was, so Frank Anzalone built that place in a national powerhouse. Jeff Jackson, my freshman year, my senior year of high school, they were just really starting to come on the map, and they got upset in the first round of the playoffs by Ohio State. And I wasn't paying attention to any of this. I came in. We had like 12 freshmen that came in. 9 of us played regularly. And Anzalone was like, he was total right out of Bobby Knight's playbook, right? We did all this crazy stuff, and all, which I loved. I played better for coaches like that. I played better for coaches that were like, hey, get your head out of your ass, Dad. Let's go. Like, in your face, all that. And I got to Lake State at the perfect time. You know what I mean? And then, so the first blue chip recruit they ever got was Doug Waite. It's because what we did my freshman and sophomore year, and then guys started going pro. We won the national championship. We were, you know, my 4 years there, I think the worst we were ranked was 4th in the country. And then Jeff Jackson was smart. He brought in Ron Ralston as an assistant coach. And then they brought Brian Ralston in, you know. That's how they did. Because although Doug Waite, Ralston, they would normally go to Michigan or Michigan State, all those kids. You know.
Now, and then, 94, you're up there. You're, you know, make your spot. You're in this lineup. And, I mean, that fucking run in 94. And to end the way it did, like, I just got to know, dude, how – much of a, like, how long did it take you guys, especially you, to get over it? I mean, that just had to be, you're up against the fucking hated Rangers. Had this, you know, could a series could have gone in either way, you know? I mean, you're in overtime, game 7. Like, what is that like, man, in a game that big?
It wasn't that game, man. It was game 6 that was the worst loss. Well,
game 6, ever. That was the Messier prediction bullshit.
No, but why even that? If you look back on game 6, right, there's 60 minutes in a game for 38 and a half minutes. The Rangers had absolutely nothing going on. We were winning 2-0. They had nothing going on.
You had them down.
Billy Guerin gets to the red line, goes to dump it in, and flubs it. Misses the dump in. They get it. They pass it right up to Kovalev. He goes in and scores, makes it 2-1 with a minute and a half left. We were done after that. We tightened up. We were done. Even though we were going into the third period up 2-1. They literally had nothing going on to that Kovalev goal, and then we just fell apart. That, you know, that sucked. That was the worst loss of my career. Not even Game 7, because Game 7.
Really?
What can you do
about that?
You know what I mean?
Now, it's already a coin flip by the time you get to Game 7. But Game 6, you guys had it like in your grasp.
Yep. And then Game 7 was unbelievable. I mean, you couldn't hear the person next to you during the anthem. That's how loud it was. It was incredible. That game. Series. Some people call that one of the best series of all time.
I believe to this day, at 47 years old, that is the greatest series I've ever seen in my life. Hands down. The only thing that would have made it a little better was if the game seven went the other way. But you know what, though? You know, three cups after the Rangers win there, you know, since they've won. So that's pretty awesome. So did you guys, like, have that feeling going into 95? Like, I know it was a shortened season and everything, but when you finally got into camp and got the season rolling, was it just like, we got this? We're not going to let anybody fucking stop us from winning it this year?
You know,
or was it kind of?
Yeah, probably the best thing that happened, because if you, the year before that, you know, the Rangers came first overall. They won the President's Trophy. We came in second overall. But that year, if you look back on that, we came in sixth. You know, we didn't have a good regular season. You know, we'd have we came in sixth place.
Yeah, you didn't have home ice the whole playoffs.
Yep. And then we just steamrolled. We just caught fire. And the year before obviously helped us. We were healthy, you know, and the only thing, the only swap really was Neil Broughton for Bernie Nichols.
Neil Broughton for Bernie Nichols, yeah.
The only change there. And so, he just so deep and so talented. And I mean, people forget too, Chris Terreri. He won the Boston series for us.
That's
Marty
right.
For some reason, Marty couldn't play against the Bruins. He just played horrible. And they played Terreri at Boston. And we went down 2-0. Then they put Terreri in. We won 4 in a row. And then they put Marty back in the rest of the way.
Now, was that Terreri? Was that just because from what I remember back then, because wasn't the rink at Boston Garden slightly smaller than most other NHL rinks, and somehow, like, I remember them saying Terreri played great in that rink his whole career, so that's why he got those starts. I mean, look, people forget Chris Terreri was vital to that 95 championship. I mean, he absolutely was. And I remember when you guys won the cup and they had the little parade out there at the Meadowlands at Continental outside. And I remember Terreri, I mean, he was probably the most emotional guy up there, man. It was awesome to see him up there, you know, saying what he said. And that was right when we were thinking about Devils were going to go to Nashville and all the other bullshit that was with it. Yeah.
They had the signs, no to Nashville or whatever.
That would have been so heartbreaking, right?
Yeah. That was great, though. I mean, it's still the best parking lot for tailgating, too.
We actually talked about it the other day, like how much we miss that. I mean,
the
I
new
love
building's
the
great.
An arena,
I love the new building, but there's no tailgating.
No, the only thing that's missing there is the tailgating. Yeah. That was the best tailgating for concerts, for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it there. I loved it
there. I still call
it
the Brennan Byrne Arena, too.
Yeah, I do it sometimes, too. So, Bobby, you got anything you want to jump in here? You've been quiet.
Yeah, I mean, before we go too far into the career, I'm really fascinated by, you know, the kind of the youth side of this, because you're about 5 years older than the oldest of us, which is me, and maybe 7 from the youngest. So, and we grew up in the next town. So watching you on TV was really something special, but I'm really interested in how, like, so you won the championship with Brick in 86, right?
Brick state championship, national championship, Stanley Cup.
And then drafted in 87. So that's just real tight end. When do you, like, legitimately know, I actually have a shot at this? When's it come into your head? You were obviously really great hockey player in high school and all throughout, but when does that really legitimize?
You know what? When I got a great story, too. So I committed to Lake Superior, and that was the only – I tell people, too, these kids, one person can change your life forever. Again, that was – Lake State was the only school that took a chance on me. So it's 1987. You know, you sign your letter of intent your senior year in November, and then the draft's coming around. The 80s, I wasn't even thinking about the draft. And I get a call from my coach, Frank Anzalone. He goes, "Hey, you know, Jimmy, you're probably going to get drafted." I'm like, "What? Really?" The draft was, you know, that day or whatever, the day of the draft. I was like, okay. And I never told anybody this, but the only team, I said to myself, the only team I didn't want to get drafted by was the Devils, because I thought it was going to be a charity pick. You know what I mean?
Right,
you
know, right.
You know,
okay, for
and
sure.
Back then, there was 12 rounds at the draft, and I'll never forget, I got a call from Marshall Johnston, who was the director of player personnel, because Max McNabb was the GM, and Marshall Johnston was the director of player personnel. He called me at 5:30, you know, and said, "Hey, Jimmy, it's Marshall Johnston. We just drafted you," and he said, "Eighth round, and you guys will get to know me. I see the silver lining in everything. I'm a positive guy all the time, right?" Sure. And I'm right off the bat, I clicked. I'm thinking to myself, okay, 8th round out of 12, that's not a charity pick. So, okay, not bad.
That's right. That's true.
That's right.
And then it was pretty cool. I, you know, proceeded to go to a party, have a good time that night. But it was so surreal, and it was pretty amazing that, you know, they took the chance on me. And, you know, I mean,
is that just your own, like, personal humility and being humble that you were, like, that far ahead of the rest of the class in high school, and it's still – it wasn't really on your forefront of your mind?
No. And then But going back to the original question here, that was like an amazing feeling. But my freshman year, when I'm sitting there playing against Michigan State, Michigan, these guys that, wow, you know, and you look at some of the guys from who played there the year before in the NHL, and like these guys that are first and second and third round picks, I'm like, that's when I knew. I'm like, all right, you know what I mean? But I used to sit in my room, you know, in one of the houses we lived in Brick, posters on the wall, visualizing myself having a poster of myself one day. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it didn't really hit till my freshman year, and I'm like, all right, you know what I mean?
Did you ever think about playing somewhere besides Brick? Awesome. Because at that time, Brick wasn't the powerhouse that it became after you were there. You had the Rockets, you had, you know, the Flyers, but, you know, what made you say, I want to stay with Brick High School?
You know what? The pretty funny story. So, back then you had the Rockets up north, you know, and the Little Flyers down south.
Yeah.
And, you know, Little Flyers down there. Nothing like it is now, you know.
Yeah, and, now you got a bunch.
They always recruited me. They'd call the house. My father would be like, you know, he's F off. He's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? I didn't really care. I was just, you know, growing up playing hockey and baseball. I'm one of seven kids. You know what I mean? You know, and just grew. I didn't really care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just was a rink rat in Brick, and I just loved playing hockey. That was my outlet. You know what I mean?
Right.
And prep schools would call. You know what I mean? They would call. You know, USHL calls. You know, all these. I just never left.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, at that time, I mean, how scouts were never, like you said, scouts weren't even coming around looking at kids in New Jersey. Like, your numbers were just so fucking far off the chart. They had to stop and check you out, you know. Yeah. Now, you know, because of what you've done and a lot, you know, some guys that come after you. Yeah, it is a state now that, yeah, you can say proudly that you're from New Jersey. You're not.
And you make them come to Ocean County of all places. They're, like you said, they were checking out Rockets games. They were checking out, you know, Little Flyers. But, I mean, they had to come to Brick to check you out. That's pretty amazing. Kind of put it on map.
And the best is, though, Marshall Johnston, I broke all the – when I was a sophomore, I broke all the records and all that. That's when I really got my notoriety. And I remember the Marshall Johnston and Max McNabb – Peter McNabb – not Dave McNabb, you know, Max's son. And they used to come – Montclair, when we played Montclair High School, they came to the games, talked to me after. I'm like, this is pretty cool. You know what I mean? Not thinking anything of it, you know. But, it's a pretty wild story when you really think about it.
That's awesome.
Now, Jim, you played on a line that I always think was kind of underrated. You played, and I know you were teammates with them, I think, in Utica also. You were with Zelopukin and Garen on that line. I mean, what was the chemistry like for you? Was it just natural from playing with them there? Zelopukin, you know, he was kind of always a mystery to me. You know, I mean, obviously, we all watched him play. I mean, the 10 seconds against the Rangers to tie the game. I mean, I was just – one of the most amazing moments, of course, followed by what happened afterwards. But what was it like playing on a line with those guys? It just seemed like natural to you guys.
Yeah, Zelly was unbelievable. Zelly's one of only three players in the history of the NHL to score 20 goals in both the American League and the NHL in the same season.
Really?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. So
I didn't know that.
Yep, Zelly. But it was great. Lemaire was the best, man. But Giacomo was the best coach by far. I swear. I still say to this day, if he went to any team in the NHL right now, they're a playoff contender. You give them some talent, they're automatically a Stanley Cup contender. But he would tell us, he'd be like, Jimmy, he goes, Billy, you go to Billy Guerin. This is your job, Billy. You go up and down the wing and you shoot the puck and drive the net. He goes, you know, Zelly, Jimmy, you get the puck to Zelly, you know, and then to Billy and you stay high. Zelly, you drive the net and go for the – like he just told us, you know. But
He definitely knew what he
wanted. The best line to play in the NHL is the so-called third line because nobody's checking you. The first two lines cancel out. I mean, that's a pretty good line. Zelopukin, Guerin, and myself. I mean, we just –
absolutely.
It was a perfect mixture because Billy Guerin had a little bit of everything. You know, he had skill for a big, tough guy too. You know what I mean? He had everything.
Absolutely. And Zelly,
if he didn't hurt his eye, he could have been one of the best players. Zelopukin was awesome, but he had that eye injury. It happened in practice, a little fluky play where, you know, Bruce Driver's stick clipped him in the eye.
And he
had to climb down to Houston and drain the blood out of his eye. He was never the same after that. But that guy, he was awesome, Zelopukin.
How'd you like playing with Bruce Driver? Because I always feel he's kind of underrated. He was, you know, I mean, Driver was a great player for the Devils. How did you feel about playing with him?
I think he's one of the most – I say this all the time. One of the most underrated players of his generation.
Absolutely.
He did everything awesome. Nobody talked about Bruce Driver. He could penalty kill. He could power play 5-on-5, 4-on-4, any situation. Great passer. Unbelievable shot from the point. you just had Scott Niedermeyer, Scott Stevens, like Bruce Driver, man. He would have been a number one or number two D on any other team.
I think Bruce Driver could play in today's NHL.
Oh, 100%.
He is that type of player. Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun to watch. We won't have to talk about him going to the Rangers, though.
Yeah, everybody. All those
guys. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, who gives a shit? It's business. It happens. A lot of our beloved Devils.
Exactly.
You know, Holik, Gomez, they all had stints.
What was that?
Hey, you guys will love this, though. I did turn down a 2-year deal from the Rangers once. Nobody knows
that. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Really?
Yeah, some hot takes here.
That is awesome.
Tell us
now,
more.
Now, why did you turn it down? Better offer, or were you done, or was it because it was the Rangers?
It was, I was with the Canadians, had a great run with them. We beat Boston in the first round. I had a great role. We lost to Tampa in the second round, and then that year was going into the lockout year.
Right.
So they were one of only a couple teams that were offering contracts, and Maloney was the GM at the time. It was a shit show in the Rangers. It was probably one of their worst eras. And they offered me a 2-year deal, and I knew we were going to miss a whole year, so that would have been the 1 year.
Right.
And then the second year, it wasn't you know that good of a deal, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to wait it out.
Yeah.
You know. So
fair enough.
Yeah, man. So that's you know,
turn down a contract from the Rangers.
Yeah.
That's
the Rangers, awesome. Right. Right?
Okay. And you are our favorite devil already.
Yeah.
And Jim, we have to ask, so you were on the ice with Messier. How was it playing against a guy like Messier and them? I mean, because to us watching, I know all of us were so locked into that series. That was like, that might have been one of my first real heartbreaks, I think, as a Devils fan, like a real deep one. But what was it like playing against some of those guys on that team that year in 94?
Yeah, he's I mean, that team was – both of those teams were – I don't think either one of those teams would lose 8 games now in the NHL.
You're right.
From top to bottom are loaded, but he's obviously one of the best ever, man. He was just – he was a – him and Scott Stevens were men. Like, they were men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't make them like that anymore. Like, I mean, they obviously do, but those guys
– Well, the game has changed so much. You know, the game is –
Yeah, it's
totally
a different game, you know. And then I'll never forget, like, they had Kevin Lowe, McTavish, Anderson, Tekin, and Messier, all Bukaboom, all these old Edmonton Oilers guys.
Graves.
I mean, the list goes Graves.
Yeah,
the list goes on. But Messier was like
– Amonte was with them that year, too, and Amonte was –
No.
Oh, that year after.
They traded Monte for for Mateau and Brian Noonan. He was in that Chicago deal. Yep. Messier just – I mean, he's –
He's Messier.
He's a very good player. Obviously, one of the best. One of the best of all time, easily.
Now, I just want to ask, right? 95, you guys are getting ready to play Red Wings in the finals. Everybody and their mother said, there's no way the Devils are going to beat the Red Wings. They're too loaded. They're, you know, this, that. And how you guys completely just dismantled them in 4 games. I mean, that was that just the mindset that you guys kind of knew? When we play our style, we're bulletproof. We cannot be beat when we play our way. And going into that series with those speedsters on that team, so much offense, and just being able to cancel them all out. And then we can get to game 2, a minute 23 left, and, you know, the game-winning goal that you scored. But, like, you know, going into that series, did you guys know, like, we play our game. They cannot beat us. No,
the President's Trophy. We were scared, but we didn't play scared. You know what I mean? We were
as hell didn't look like you were scared.
We were just like, we can't let these guys breathe. We gotta play our game. We gotta just take it to them. We gotta take it to them, and that's what we did. You know, and we didn't let up for 1 second. I mean, every single shift of that whole series, we knew if we gave them an inch, they'd take it. You know,
I can't remember a series back then that the Devils looked more confident in than you did against the Red Wings. Like it did. You say you guys were nervous. You sure as hell didn't.
Maybe it was a healthy fear of respect, but you executed your plan. Maybe out of that healthy fear, you don't deviate. You just play as hard as you can.
Yep. I mean, that team was amazing. I mean, think about it. Our so-called, you know, I don't like to use worse, but our so-called, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Least talented. Abelin was our sixth defenseman. Let that sink in.
Right.
That was unbelievable. He never made a mistake, and he was our sixth defenseman. He never made a mistake.
I can't think of a more stacked defense, really, in all the eras of hockey I've watched.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Chambers was a huge pickup. He played incredible. And then, you know, the top four. I mean, Stevens, Niedermeyer, you know, Driver. I mean, three line. It was just, we're stacked. You know what I mean? And yeah, Neil Cotton was just a perfect fit. You know, I love Bernie. I still talk to Bernie Nichols to this day, you know, but we swapped out Neil for and he fit right in perfectly with John McClain and Lemieux.
He had a hell of a playoff, too.
Ah, he was Neil Broughton. Yeah. That was great because he's my favorite American player of all time. And then to get a chance to play with him, not only that, but win a couple of them, he was the best. Yeah. He was great.
We talked about that in one of our episodes of underrated players. That Neil Broughton was the second highest scorer in the 95 playoffs for the Devils.
Yep. Yeah.
Nobody ever talks about that.
Nobody talks about him. He did everything well. He did penalty kill, power play, just like Driver. Nobody talked about him. Those two guys. If you don't have them, we probably don't win a cup. You know,
I think it's interesting that you're focusing on like nutritional aspects and mindset stuff today, because I had read previously that you feel like you've extended your career by nutritional changes you made along the way. And you kind of came in an era where like nutrition and taking care of yourself wasn't at the level it is today. And it kind of changed during your career. You changed with it, you know, and I look at today's athletes. They are definitely like from a young age on that. You know, if they're serious, they're all there. They're not putting bad stuff in their body anymore. Yeah. But I also wonder, like, do you think like these young guys coming up, they miss out on like the kind of free spiritedness that you might have had, like the team building you get when you go out to the bars and close them and stuff from time to time, you know?
Nah, let's get one thing straight. That still happens. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It still happens. Believe me. But when I first came in, 91, 92, there was guys not wearing helmets, you know, Doug Wilson, McTavish.
Craig McTavish, you
know, guys would literally smoke in between periods, you know what I mean, out in the hallway.
It's crazy.
And then right after the game, they would wheel a cart of beer in, you know, which is obviously, what's the worst thing for you? Beer after a game. Right. And then about 3 to 4 years, 5 years into my career, you know, they put the, you know, everyone had a helmet, you know, then in a half shields, you know, there's a couple guys wore halves, but, and nobody really smoked much anymore. And then I remember I played in Calgary, and James Patrick was one of the first guys. He was a health nut. There's a reason why I played as long as he did. But my whole health journey, people ask me all the time because I have a nutrition business. You know, they want me to tell hockey stories because they know me as Jim Dowd, the hockey player. It was, you know, I had signed two nice contracts, won a Stanley Cup, was on top of the world. All of a sudden, I got sent back to the minors at 27 years old. You know, when you get sent back to the minors at 27 in Major League Baseball, NHL, you're not getting back. You're done. NFL, right. NBA, there is no minor leagues. I had all these teams from Europe calling us. We didn't have kids yet. We had been married for about a year. I said to my wife, honey, I said, listen, let's give it one more year. If we don't make it back to the NHL, we're only 27. You know, we'll go over to Europe, play as long as we can, and make some good money. I remember Italy was paying huge money back then. You know, we could have went there, but I said, just give it one more year. We were playing in Hamilton, Ontario for Edmonton's farm team. And about a month and a half into that season, like, I was like, what the heck just happened? I went from the penthouse to the outhouse. I was on my last year of my deal. I was making NHL money, but the money didn't even matter.
Right.
That's when my wife was doing all this research and wanted to get as healthy as could be. So that's when we got into the whole holistic, organic, all natural way of living and supplements. And we did this eat right for your blood type diet. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll do anything. I went from 100, within 1 month, 30 days, I went from 192 to 182 pounds. I cut out all the BS. I hardly partied at all anymore. And I was quicker, stronger, faster, and I spent the next 12 straight years without a day in the minors from 28 to 40.
Yeah.
That's shit.
Yeah. I mean, those results are clear. Man. You know that that's the result of the changes you made.
Yeah, 100%. And now these kids, I mean, I had two boys, they're so far ahead of us, you know.
Right,
yeah. But believe me, they still have their fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing like it used to be. Excuse me, but, you know, they still have their fun.
Well,
one thing about you – you always adapted, right? You always, when you played, I remember you getting in scraps with Dallas Drake and all these things. You always kind of fit, like, as your career went on, you kind of like, you filled the roles you had to fill, right? To stay in that long in the NHL, you know, it's not an easy task. And one thing about you is I think you always seem to do what you had to do for that team. Like, you were a very selfish player, non-selfish player, I should say.
Yeah, you know what? I had to adjust because when you're not leading scorer anymore, a lot of guys, so many guys, I look back at my career, 24, 25, 26, if they're not in the top six or not palpable anymore, they quit or they'll go to Europe right away. I'm like, you know what? I got to figure out how to fit in here. And I had to readjust my game. And, you know, having success early on in my career, everybody wants a winner. You know what I mean? I mean, went to the conference finals my rookie year, win the Stanley Cup. You know, so – and then I became a role player on the third and fourth line. But they knew, you know, I had the skill. If the first or second line center got hurt or whatever, I could fill in fine. And I had no problem. I just wanted to play in NHL. I didn't care, you know, so, you know, killing penalties, taking faceoffs, and it was great. I just loved playing. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line. I tell these kids, just, you know, there's the one percenters that are always going to be the leading scorers. When you're not a leading scorer, you got to figure out how to fit in.
Exactly.
Teams need everything. You know what I mean? I mean, just look at every team that wins the cup. Look at the Vegas' fourth line this year.
No, there's a fact. Absolutely. And you have to have four solid lines in this NHL. Yep. You really do. And
if you just can work hard, be a good teammate, that's what I stress to these kids. Work hard, be a good teammate. Every team needs a little bit of everything. And when you're not a leading scorer anymore or you're not a scorer, you got to figure out how, you know, what that team needs.
Right.
Right.
You know?
What do you think about this year's Devils team or last season and then going into this year? What's your opinion of this team?
You know what? Last year, if we were 500, we'd be happy.
Right.
Playing with house money all year.
Definitely.
You know, that was legit. Like, I was like, you know, I remember the first game I went to, I think it was the Nashville game where we lost in overtime. Lost.
Yep.
But we were like, I'm like, this team's legit. I'm like, holy cow, this team is definitely, their D's way better than I thought. And they just kept going. They kept going. They had that little, they got off to a great start and then we lost like four in a row and everyone's thinking, okay, here we go. And that's when Graves and Marino, the defenseman, what's his name that we got from
Marino
Pittsburgh?
And Ryan Graves.
Ryan Graves were hurt.
Yeah, they were both out. This is around December of last season.
And then they came back, and then they got on another run. I'm like, this team is legit. You know, but this year, you know, I mean, we're not surprising anybody. That's the only thing that scares me is everyone's going to be ready.
Yes.
You know, but if they just keep their heads on straight and come back to camp with the right mindset, I mean, this team can do some damage.
Yeah, they can.
You know, I mean, they're deep. They're fast. What they did to the Rangers last year, after the first two games, I'm thinking the Rangers are going to sweep them. We were terrible the first two games.
Absolutely.
And then
everybody
thought
that.
And then they got their legs under them, and they're very fun to watch, I'll tell you that.
They are.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of talent.
And they added some nice pieces, too. They got some nice – Tom Fitzgerald's doing a great job locking guys up long term and some good young guys. Nico Hischier, I said it from the get go, even before Hughes got there, this kid's probably going to be a 15 year, you know, if he's on your second line, he'd be a great 15 year guy in the NHL on your second line.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a very good player.
He is. And for what he does, he's one of the best at it. He really is. I love Hischier. What about Hughes? I mean, this guy, generational talent, right? I mean, this kid's amazing.
You know what? In that Rangers series, a lot of people don't realize this, but it was game one, right? And it didn't mean anything, but it meant something. Mm-hmm. That penalty shot that he got, he came in and buried that.
Yes,
I guarantee you, if he doesn't score that,
Sturkin's confidence goes up.
That series. Yep. Even though it was, you know, the game ended up 4-1, but he came in, buried it, and you know what I mean? Didn't celebrate or anything. But if he doesn't score that goal, I bet you they're Rangers win that series.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Awesome. Didn't mean anything, but it meant something.
It's one of the best goalies in the league, but Hughes has Shesterkin's number, and he has kind of in the regular season, but in the playoffs, that was huge because there's nothing like owning a goalie when you score on the penalty shot. That's it. You own him now.
Yep. Even though, like I said, it was 4-0. It was like, but that was, tell me about it, man. We're happy. We don't have to talk about that. How great was that? That was like our Stanley Cup. We didn't give a shit after that.
That's what we said.
It was so weird.
What do you think about the goaltending? Yeah, what do you think about the goaltending in New Jersey? Is that, I guess, the biggest question mark?
Yeah, everybody's talking about it, you know, but we'll see what they do. If they run with Schmidt or, I mean, they got two good, solid goalies, you know. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Like I said, the D-cores are really good. The forwards are really good. The goalies are solid. I mean, that's the question mark. If there's any question mark about the Devils, that's it.
I think that position has probably changed more than any other since you've played. Is the goaltending, just the style, it's like so homogenous. Like so many guys play the same goaltending style today, as opposed to like you had the hybrid guys and you still had some stand-ups when you were getting in there. But also the size. They're not looking at like, you know, drafting
they're not Chris
smaller
Terrari.
Goalies. Yeah, it's like Terrari wouldn't make it in today's league. It's kind of crazy. I like they do – you know, favor players now of average height if they can scoring ability and stuff. But the goaltenders are not in with that crowd. They seem like they're going after the bigger guys only.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I still say their equipment's too big still. Yeah. They're all huge and their equipment's too big. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So, but yeah, that's one position that it's these kids are so good now and they're so technically sound, you know?
Yeah.
They're almost like robots. But that's the only question. mark for the Devils. I mean, I'm excited to see if they get off to a good start. They just got to get off to a solid start.
Absolutely. You know? It's and, the division, the whole conference is too tight to have to be chasing after the holidays and everything. No, you want to get yourself into a nice position. Make sure you got that playoff spot locked up. No matter who gives a shit what the seed is, you guys proved it doesn't matter what your seed is.
Yep.
You know, so just get in, make sure you're locked in. And it, unfortunately, I believe that with the goaltending issues, like we just talked about, that everybody else is talking about, if they stay with Schmidt and Vanacek, those are not going to be answered until the playoffs. Because all anyone's going to talk about is, yeah, Vanacek had a great regular year. Can he do it in the playoffs? So, you know, I'm a Schmidt guy. I like Schmidt. I think he definitely has the chops to be the future in this team. But I am a little bit skeptical about the goaltending, you know, especially going into the playoffs. But hopefully,
yeah, there was all those rumors they were going to sign Hellebuck, but he wanted $9 million a year.
Yeah, he wants some crazy ass money.
Yeah, you know. Yeah,
I think you'd try and pull one of those guys out of Boston. That's what I would do.
You like Swayman?
They need help, man. They need center help. Maybe Jim, we're gonna go play with them again. Need some center help.
Yeah, right.
Go jump up there.
Well, you have your kids playing, right? You have is your son going into senior year at Penn State?
Yeah, my oldest son Jimmy Jr. Is a senior at Penn State, and my youngest son's a freshman at ASU.
Wow,
nice.
That's great. Yep. The two nicest hockey rinks in college hockey. My boys are at.
Oh, beautiful.
It's good.
Very nice.
Jim, Chris was getting to it earlier. We were talking about you. We have to talk about the goal, right? Now, your brother was at that game in Detroit, correct?
Yeah, that's my youngest brother John was at that game. Yeah, he couldn't hear a pin drop. It was great.
I mean, what was were you able to sleep that night afterwards? I mean, how I couldn't imagine the buzz. You know what?
Especially as an American kid, it's like, you know, it's like you relate it to hitting a home run to win the game in the World Series, throwing a touchdown or catching a touchdown pass, hitting the game winning buzz. I mean, and to be on the ice, you know, minute and 20 whatever seconds left.
Three.
I mean, you know. I was just, you know, and you taught basic fundamentals. Go to the net, stop in front with your stick on the ice, and you'll score some goals. And lo and behold, you know, Guerin took that shot, ripped it off Coffey's, you know, backside, and he's down. He put it up, go D to D, and just, it was awesome. I mean, it was pretty sick feeling.
You know, Devil, like younger Devil fans that maybe go back and they watch it, the importance of that goal. And that game, you split with Detroit, and you're coming back up to Jersey now, and it's 1-1. It's a different series. To be able to take 2-0 lead coming in to finish off that sweep, that goal was so huge. That game was so huge.
Yep.
I mean, the last thing you want to do is come back 1-1. That's amazing. Yep. That's just, that I mean, you game, dream about
that
shit.
Hey, that was the game that Stevens rocked Kozlov, too.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, he did.
Yep.
It was a pivotal game, and that was the pivotal goal and the pivotal game in the series. Yep. It really was.
That's when Stevens point to the bench, you're next.
Oh, yes. We were just talking about that, yep. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah, don't. No,
I was just going to say, so I've been talking to the guys about this a few times that we knew we were going to talk to you. What was Stevens like when you guys were taking those road trips, right? I know, I'm sure, like, was it total business, right? I've heard many times that he was a very serious dude. Like, you know, he wasn't the loudest guy, right? But he kind of just controlled the room. Is that – what was your thoughts on playing with Stevens?
You know, we had a bunch of guys. We had a great mixture of guys. I mean, that was a heavy – we had the right amount of veterans, guys that have been around for a while. And, like, it was business. Like, practice was unbelievable. Like, there was no bullshit.
Right.
Like, guys, those guys worked. You know what I mean? Like, Scott Stevens, those guys, that Claude Lemieux, like, that guy, hardest worker. He should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yes.
You know? Yes. I love Guy Carboneau. If Guy Carboneau's in the Hall of Fame, Claude Lemieux should be in there.
You're not wrong.
You know? And good I love point. Guy Carboneau, you know? But Lemieux never took – even Stefan Richey, people talk about him being a little flaky and all that. He showed up for practice and worked his ass off. Scott Stevens, though, you know, him and Danico, like – they were just men. Mm-hmm. You look back on that team, they were physically just like strong as an ox. And Stevens was just all business. And we'd lose a game. It doesn't matter what it was, Johnny McLean, you know, Bruce Driver, Dano, like they weren't happy till we won again.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're not losing two in a row. And if you lost two in a row, like no one's smiling.
Right.
Not till we won again. Like it was all business. Like that, those guys were very serious. Nobody took days off. And it was like our practices were insane. You know what I mean? Just intense, short, 45, 50 minutes. Lemaire knew how to handle everybody. It was a veteran-laden team with the right mixture of you know, middle-aged guys and some young guys.
Yeah, it's a much younger league today. It seems like the average team has much more younger players and fewer veterans.
Oh, it's totally different. Yeah. That's from the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement. It's totally different now.
Yeah.
I mean, guys are coming in, they're in their 31, 32 years old. It's like they're done.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Was Stevens the best captain you ever played for? Played with? Or at least one of?
He was awesome. He was in a different way. He just led by example.
Right.
You know, he totally led by example. We had a bunch of leaders on that team. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, he led by example. Everybody knew what was going on, you know?
How was Lou? Was Lou, like, very involved with that team? Was Lou, like, right there? Because, you know, you always hear the stories about Lou. We've always heard, like, the tales.
Yeah, no, Lou knew. Make sure guys know that he didn't, you know. Nobody messed around, though. You know what I mean? It was in LeMaire. I mean, listen, what changed the Devils organization around big time was when he brought LeMaire in. That changed the whole organization.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. That combination of Lou Lamorella and Jock LeMaire and Larry Robinson changed the whole, you know, mindset of the Devils organization. They just turned into a machine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And LeMaire was just all about make the right decision. You could do whatever you want. Just make the right decision.
Right. That's what you was, were a big part of it, too, Jimmy. You definitely
were. No, that's
were.
What I'm saying. Like, you know. But Lou, he's to this day, you know, I still stay in touch with him. You know what I mean? He's the best. I mean, he's what he's done to do what he's done for this long.
Yeah. Yeah.
His age, he's still going. You know what I mean? That's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
We're all Lou guys, definitely.
Now, you're back in the fold with the Devils, you said?
Yeah, back in the fold doing, you know, especially the events down in Ocean, Southern New Jersey, whatever. I show up, you know, do some alumni events and all that. You know, it's great.
Very cool.
It keeps me in the loop. You know,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no. Devils
so when you were traded from the Devils, that was a three team trade, right? Do you remember? And you went to Vancouver. I think you played the same night that you got traded. Actually, how was that? Like, I know back in the day, I'm sure like it's part of the game. But did that bother you leaving the like? Were you like, how did you feel? Basically,
I mean, it had so much success, and it's your home state. It's got to mean something, right?
Yeah, that was pretty weird. That was my first trade ever, and they talk about you know, unless you're coming from juniors where you've been traded before or something like that, your first sort of, and I had a bad experience in Vancouver, and I don't blame it on anybody else but myself. You know what I mean? I got traded out there. I just never, you know, like I said, that was the start of, I just never felt comfortable out there. Rick Lee was the head coach, great guy, but a total player's coach, total opposite spectrum of how they did things in New Jersey.
Right.
And again, I never blamed anything on anybody but myself. I just didn't adjust. I didn't adjust well. You know, they gave me a chance. I just didn't take advantage of it. I wasn't in the right mindset. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, that was a tough one. I got literally traded to the furthest team away.
Oh yeah.
Right.
they were sort of falling apart a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. After 94. Yeah. Things were going downhill after that.
All this talent and everything, but
I don't think they figured it out yet.
No, you know,
even now.
No, that team was pretty sick. The talent they had: McGillney, Murray, Yurki Lume, Russ.
Yeah, they were amazing.
This goes on and on. Kirk McLean, ex-Devil.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a tough one. And then it took me a little bit, but then I had to get my head out of my rear end, get my head on straight. And like I said, I firmly believe you get your mind right, your body right through proper nutrition. Forget hockey; life in general works a heck of a lot easier.
Absolutely.
And then I look back at all those guys with the Devils. They were in sick shape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know?
Back then?
Yeah. Oh, those guys were in unbelievable shape. Tom Chorsky, the list goes on and on. All those guys.
And you wound up back with LeMaire with Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
I played for him for seven years. 4 years in Minnesota. I was captain for him there. He was great.
Yeah, I like that the Wild does have these weird New Jersey ties. Even today with Billy Guerin being the GM up there, you know. Parisi, a bunch of guys, LeMaire.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, there's strange, weird little ties with Minnesota, which is pretty cool.
So wait, did any of you guys play hockey growing up or what?
And I was playing men's leagues until about 6 months ago. So, yeah, just keeping it local.
Did you play for the Tom's River Blackhawks?
No, not back in the day with that, but I spent a lot of time in that rink as an adult playing men's league, and it's been fun, that's for sure. I was at one time in one of your younger brothers, I guess, played at some thing I was at in Wall, and that was cool.
And my brother John, I'm the second youngest. That's probably my brother John, yeah.
Okay, Yeah.
I'm about as athletically gifted as this pen, so I don't.
That was probably the best player I ever got to play against. You know, just mucking around in the men's league, and he was pretty sick. I was happy to stop anything on him. It was fun.
You still playing?
No, if there's charity events or something like that, but you know, I get my fill with the clinics and camps that I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
I have one story I got to tell you because I have an experience with you about I don't know, 97 actually. Okay, in Tampa, me and my sister. I followed your career. You know, I mean, you were one of those guys when you after left the Devils, I always followed. You played in Florida. So I was in Tampa. You played. This was a week that you had played against the Panthers two nights before. You had tied the game. Abilene won the game. And then the next day you came to Tampa, scored against Pupa. But that day in Tampa, me and my sister went down to the rink, and I had a Asbury Park Press. No, remember the No Doubting Him Now?
Yeah, with the cup
in the centerfold.
Yep.
I brought it over to you, man. You were totally cool. You gave us a stick after the game, man. Like,
that's funny.
Dude, I just got to thank you. We never forgot that. My sister always, and that's one, you know, my sister, she's always like, that guy Jim Dowd gave us a stick. He's so nice. And I was like, funny, man. I got to say, man, thanks. As a kid from Jersey, that was really cool, man. You know, like I said. Great.
What were you doing down in Tampa? Were you just
I moved to Tampa after. Yeah, I moved to Tampa eventually. Cool. My mom moved there. Yeah, so
he was literally following your career. He's been shadowing his whole life. I mean,
it's more longer this guy.
You know where he is
behind you now.
He's in point. Exactly. I hate to tell you that, but he's in town. Just kidding.
But I really appreciated that, man. That was very cool. So I got to say thanks,
man. That's great stuff. That's good.
Dude, thank you so much for doing this, man. This was awesome, and it seriously was a ton of fun. Is there anything before we wrap it up that you want to plug, man? Anything you're doing here that you want to get a shout out to?
You know what I mean? Just like I said, just hit me up. I'm my performance mindset. If you want to see what I do there, it's with youth athletes. It's jimdowd.com. You know what I mean? And then you know, just hit me up on Instagram or Facebook if you want to connect with me about the nutrition. You know, that's what I do.
And we hope to, you know, maybe throughout the season we get you back in, get a little feedback from this season.
100%.
And, that would be great. Awesome, man.
Amazing.
Yeah. That would really be awesome, dude. Thank you so much, Jim. We really appreciate it. Everybody, Stanley Cup champion, Mr. Jim Dowd.
All right.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, guys. I'm looking forward. We'll get some stuff going during the season.
Absolutely, my man. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right.
We really appreciate it.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!